Well, good morning, church. How you guys doing? All right. I'm glad you guys can hear me. Mic is working. Donna, Andrea, thank you so much back there. You guys rock. I'm just going to put these down really quick. And so, thank you all so much for coming this morning. Just blessing me as well. And man, let me just tell you, I wanted to ask, you know, the ushers where the cots were or the beds, because I'm ready to go take a nap. I mean, all this delicious food. I mean, come on. Caleb, my son, my 10-year-old's here with me right now, and he's like, "Dad, we just need to come back next weekend again." I was like, "Yeah, yeah, I'm down for that." Right? We're only about an hour and 15 minutes away, so I'll be back. Right? So I just wanted to have some fun with you, and you know, really introduce myself. And so my name is Carlos Whitaker. My wife was like, "Don't do that." And I was like, "I will. It's just going to have some fun." You know, I was telling Devin that all I needed was the glasses, and everybody was like, "Oh, he's back." Right? But I'm going to introduce myself the way that, you know, we have been introducing ourselves. And I say we because, you know, I've done life's healing choices in the past. And so this is the way I'm going to introduce myself. So I'm in recovery for sexual addiction, for pride, and for disbelief. My name is Juan Palomino. I love that. You guys sound awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. Well, again, I'm really excited to be here. I just want to thank, you know, just Tim, Jenny, Avery, Luke, Josh, and Trey out in our table back there. You guys say hello, guys, right back there. Thank you so much for just greeting my son, Caleb, and I, and just really giving us some big-time love, as well as all of you that just greeted us without even knowing who we were. But it just shows the heart of Jesus and his spirit being here at this church, you know, that we're newcomers and, you know, you guys were just embracing us. That is awesome to see. So, again, just thank you very much for that. So, all right. Well, I'm really excited to be part of this Life Healing Choice series. And I want to thank also Pastor Ken and Pastor Devin. Can you guys just give Pastor Devin a round of applause for what he's doing? And listen, Pastor Ken texted me this morning, and he said, "Hey, give them heaven." And I was like, yes, sir, I will, you know. But I'm really excited because we met through mutual friends. Yeah, just tell you a little bit of the background. About 5-6 months ago, we met, and they reached out to me, you know, because somebody believed, you know, another friend of mine, Kay Chung, shout out to him, you know, they were interested in really speaking to you. You know, Pastor Ken, this privilege of having this church, and Pastor Devin speaking to you as their church, and not only helping you understand what it is to, you know, find Jesus, but how to follow him, you know, really, I mean, just having a sold-out relationship with him, and, you know, heart, soul, mind, your treasures, your talents. And so, we talked about this series, Life's Healing Choices. And, you know, this is something that I'm really passionate about, and what I've been watching the messages, believe it or not, I've been keeping along and taking copious notes, and there's an underlying, you know, message, you know, Bible verse that I want to continue to touch on today, and that is John 10:10, and Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, "I have come that they may have life, life to the fullest." Now, I don't know about you guys, but anybody here, you know, by a round of applause, anybody want life to the fullest that Jesus talked about? Yes. Amen. Amen. So I want you to know that I've been tracking along, and I've been looking at my spiders as well, you know, because they keep popping up. And, you know, I tell Jenna, you know, call the exterminator. She goes, "You know his name, it's called Jesus." And, you know, with the summertime, you know, all the creatures come out. And But I wanted to, before I get started, just share with, you know, confess to you, because I believe in full transparency. And, you know, the scripture says in James 5:16, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." I need some healing. Can I get amen? Amen. All right, here's my confession. 2 weeks ago, I had this message prepared already. And I sent the notes, and I was so proud of myself. I gave myself a pat in the back and said, "Oh, I'm ready for this." And then I get to go online, you know, Pastor Devin sends me an email and says, "Hey, you got to check out, you know, the message series." So I go online, and it messed me up in a good way. It messed me up in such a good way that I was like, "Oh no, I need to rewrite this message again." Because I don't know about you, but hopefully you're like me, that if you read, even if you've read the scriptures and you reread them again, Have you found that God has this interesting way of speaking to you again in a different light? Church, yes? Right? So this is what this has been doing for me. So I said, you know what? I'm going to surprise Newbury Park First Christian Church, say, hey, I got a whole new message for you this morning. You know, something that was not planned, that is, you know, Spirit-led. And so here we are. The only slide that I really have is this slide. Donna, hit him with it. This is my family. All right, this is part of my family, I should say. So that's my wife, Jenna, and these are our two little ones. So I'm going to tell you my story in a little bit. But Caleb is right behind over there. Stand up real quick for me, son. 10-year-old Caleb. All right? And so when we met, you know, my wife Jenna and I and our two kids, you know, we've been married 8 years, this January coming up. And we actually are planting a brand new church right now in Antelope Valley in Palmdale, which is really exciting, but it is crazy as well. You know, and so when we talked about this message, you know, I was really in a position where I was like, okay, you know, I want to help and I'm interested in helping. God, you've given me a testimony, and I want to share that with you this morning. You know, what that testimony is, and I get to share with you this morning because the Holy Spirit told me this. Tell them how to consciously choose to commit not only their lives, but their will over to my care and control. And believe it or not, that is the commitment choice that lined up with what I'm going to speak with you, you know, to you this morning. It is principle 3 of this life healing choice. It is the third choice of the life healing choice series, and that is to consciously choose to commit our lives, but also our will, over to God, God's care and control. And I love the Beatitude. If you've been tracking along as well, it's in Matthew chapter 5, this beautiful sermon that Jesus gave on the Mount. And Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek. Not the weak, the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So let me ask you this question. Think about this. What does it mean or what does it look like for someone to be a follower of Jesus? Have you ever asked yourself that? What does it look like? Because believe it or not, here's my other confession is it's easier to point the finger at someone that is doing the sin that you normally commit, and it looks uglier when they're doing it, right? Come on, let me see those smiles. You don't have to laugh. The camera's on, don't worry about it. Pastor Ken won't know. But it's easier to look at someone committing the sin that you normally do and go, oh, do you see what they're doing? Do you see how they're acting, how they're responding, how they're dressed? Right? What they've said, you know, and how their life is in shambles. I mean, it's easier to do that. So this morning with the commitment choice, I mean, if you're ready, and if you're ready, a believer, but I want to speak to those maybe in the room, maybe if it's 1, 2, or 3, or 5 in here, that if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ yet, I want you to know that you're in the right room. I always like to talk to those that, you know, maybe you were convinced this morning, hey, we have a fantastic breakfast next Sunday. Come check it out. And maybe you got convinced to come here this morning because of the breakfast. Well, now you're going to get fed spiritually as well. All right? Well, I don't know where you're at, but I want you to know that there is another way, and there are some life-healing choices, even though you're not a believer in Jesus right now, that these principles that we're going through this life-healing choice series, believe it or not, they do apply to your life because in 2002... You know, before 2002, I wasn't a believer. And these principles, I look back, hindsight, 2020, right? We have perfect vision. They still apply to my life when I wasn't a follower of Jesus Christ. So I want you to lean in and really, take some notes or some mental notes and check this out. So I thought the best way that I could teach all of you this morning is by living example. So I want you to know, like I mentioned, in 2002, I wasn't a follower of Jesus per se. Right, so I grew up Roman Catholic. I knew of Jesus because that was the religion that I actually was brought up in. And that was the faith that I looked at my parents, you know, living out. Well, the best that they could, right? And so that faith to me, what it turned out to all the way up to literally 31 years of age was this was my relationship. Number one is, Juan, if you're ever in trouble, you know what to do. Say the prayer. He'll help you get out of the situation. Can I get amen to that? All right? If you're ever in trouble, you know what lever to pull. It may be on your knees, but if not, pull this lever. God, I need help. If you're there, help me out. Right? And the other one was, if I ever needed a promotion or if I needed that girl, all right? It's like, God, can you give me? Give me. And God so graciously gave, right? God so graciously gave me a lot of things, you know, materialistically, you know, relationally. But I still felt this void inside of me that all these material things and all these relationships could not fill. So at 22 years old, I went to a Foursquare church. I was invited by some friends from work. And sure enough, I was in a dire situation relationally, financially, and emotionally. And I'm like, sure, I know the lever. Let's go to church. Mita's here. So I go and I go, I need to pull that lever. But lo and behold, I go to this service and I hear Pastor Scott Bauer, who has gone to the Lord now, but he was Pastor Jack Hayford's son-in-law at Church on the Way in Van Nuys. And so I hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And sure enough, I'm there and I'm here's a grown dude, 22 years old, right? I'm crying and I'm going, yes, this is what I want. I want to commit my life to Jesus, you know, once and for all. So I do it. And a couple weeks later, I go and I get baptized, right? So I'm following along. I take the next step of my faith and I go, yes. So I get, you know, submerged in water instead of getting sprinkled, right? But this time, instead of just following along with my parents, had the faith that they had lent to me, let me borrow, it was my turn. It was my turn to make the decision and say, this is the faith that I want. Things don't get better though, gang. Let me tell you what happened. I get in my car and I'm driving home, and it's not like I heard an audible voice, but I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time. I didn't know what it was. And I heard him say, you need to change your life. You need to commit all the way in. Enough of the stepping in and stepping out. Or enough of playing this. Only when you need me, you know when to pull the lever. And I confess, I was so scared that when I heard that, I made the decision to follow Jesus. But right when I was in the vehicle and I had turned away from the church to go home, I drifted away. I consciously made a decision to commit my life to Jesus, but I didn't turn over what? My will. And I firmly believe when I look at people around me, you know, and since I've been a pastor now, you know, officially ordained for 3.5 years, and before that, you know, I started going to church, I found my way back, you know, from 2002 to 2010, I lived like the world had demonstrated that I wanted to live, doing my will instead of God's will. And let me tell you shortly what happened. So I began to jump from relationship to relationship. And in literally from by the age of 22 to 31, I ended up having 4 beautiful kids with 3 different women. 3 different women. So every single time that the honeymoon was over, guess what Juan would do? Bye, Felicia. I was gone, right? When the true me, when the masks began to fall off and these wonderful women began to understand and see who I really was, that's when I would bail. I would take off. And so here I was abandoning my children and really trying to seek this new thing inside a brand new person every single time I bounced around from relationship to relationship. There was this void inside of me. Not only did I do that, but I would also bounce around from job to job to job. Like I mentioned earlier, when I introduced myself, you know, I'm in recovery for pride. You know, I never liked having a boss. I never liked anyone telling me what to do. Right? I never liked anyone telling me, you got to be here at 9 to 5. This is your break, this and that. So I used that as a way to do whatever I wanted. I would rationalize and justify my behavior. So here I am at 31 years old, 4 kids, 3 different women. Not committed to the Lord. At least I had salvation. I believe that. But if he looked at me from the outside and they followed me with this camera, like these reality shows, and your TV team today, your production team left with me today, and you came back next Sunday and they recorded every single little thing back then, and they showed it, they played it to you next Sunday, and you would go, mm-mm, that fruit is no good. He calls himself an orange tree, but there's a lot of lemons. There's a lot of lemons, right? My actions were not matching my words. And I firmly believe that, you know, I'm here, it's me too. I want to have this conversation as me too with this commitment choice, that there's certain things in my life that I still need to surrender over to God, because if I don't surrender these things to God, then I'm a bad testimony of who I am following today. If I put on the name tag and it says, I am a child of God, but all my actions, all my words show the complete opposite, would you really say I'm a committed follower of Jesus? Can I get a no? No, right? No. So that's where I was, folks. And James 1, 22 through 25 says this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Interesting. Anyone who listens to the word, like here at church every Sunday, but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Right? So we put on this face mask on Sunday and we put on the nice clothes and we go, hey, I'm a believer in Jesus. We sing the songs, we take communion, right? We fellowship, we do the act. But then right when we leave and we get into our cars, you do exactly what I did back in 2002. You go, okay, that was good. That was nice. Hey, I went to church, pulled the lever. All right, God, hopefully you come through this week. And we're really not committed. We're really not committed. You know, here's what I say. We love Jesus as our Savior, but we don't like him as our Lord. Somebody need to write that down. That was pretty good. That's pretty good. The recording this, right? All right. So, we love Jesus. Listen to this. We love Jesus as our Savior, but we don't like him as our Lord. All right? And again, let me give you a quick story. I just, through Instagram, you know, somebody hit me up and said, hey, we'd love to partner with you. I'm noticing you're planting a brand new church. And we want to see if we can mutually benefit each other and help each other out. I was like, oh, this is cool. We're trying to meet new people in the area because we're planting a church. So we get on a phone call and we have a conversation, and the conversation literally goes like this. Hey, brother, how you doing? How's it going? I go, oh, everything's good. I go, you know, we're planting a church, excited about life and, you know, trying to reach people with the good news of Jesus. Yeah, that's good, man. Yeah, I'm a believer too. Great. That's awesome. Hey, quick question for you. This is me asking him, where do you go to church? We watch church online. Let me smile big. Church online. Okay. Okay. Sounds good. That's great. What do you mean? Do you have a pastor, somebody that's helping you grow, somebody that's holding you accountable, somebody that's, you know, watching what you're doing so that way you don't stray off the path? That's kind of what I miss from church is, you know, it's community. I go, yeah, I totally get that. I've been there. I go, so talk to me. You've been asking that you want to mutually see if we can mutually benefit each other. How can I help you? And he goes, I'm looking for business partners in the area. Right, it was one of these network marketing companies. I already knew. Nothing wrong with that. If you have a home-based business, shout out to you. Hustle. It's all good. Essential oils. Woo, woo. Right? No. Seek Jesus first. The oils are cool, but, you know, the Lord will heal you too, right? So I go, listen, I said, I've been through all that. I've been in business in the past. I said, here's what I firmly believe, is that this is not coincidence. You reached out to me. I would love to really do what you're saying, mutually benefit you. He goes, how's that? I said, who's your pastor today? Oh, well, I watch, and he names a big name. We'll leave it off the video. And I go, okay, great. Phenomenal teacher. It's relevant, right? He mentions all these things and why he listens to them. You know, a lot of these churches are just, you know, they're verse by verse. Listen to this. verse by verse, and it's boring, and I fall asleep, and I go, well, you know, there's a lot of food. You got to go to check out this church in Newberry Park, First Christian Church. But I go, okay. I said, I understand that. I go, let me tell you something. He goes, yeah. I said, I don't think this will be a match. He goes, why is that? I said, because if I'm ever going to follow someone, this is what I said, I want that person to definitely be following Jesus Christ first and foremost in their lives. Not that they're sprinkling Jesus on their plate, not that they don't have a church home, because I believe in church, but I believe that a lot of us are missing the point about church. That, you know, we can just watch church online, and that's cool if you're on vacation, right? But community is where it's at. Because let me tell you guys something. In 2002, like I mentioned, I accepted Christ, I got baptized, but no one ever followed up with me. And I always say this, and I always mention it to young guys that I'm pastoring and that I'm helping hold accountable. I always go, man, if somebody in my life, because my father is not a believer in Jesus Christ. My father was a great provider, is a great provider, right? When I was underneath him, was a good man. You know, I never missed a nice pair of shoes before school started, a backpack, phenomenal provider, but he was not a spiritual leader. You see, so I wish and hoped for, if I can go back to the, you know, back to the past, if somebody could hold me accountable and say, hey, Juan, what you're doing right now is not healthy. What you're doing right now is not what you should be doing. You have called yourself, you had raised your hand or cried out loud to Jesus, you pulled the lever, but you're not walking with the Lord. You're not committed to what his instruction, what his word says. You're hearing the word, but you're not doing it. Does that make sense? I wish somebody would have held me accountable. So what did that do? With me living my own will out, it led to this cycle of despair. So I want to draw this out to you. And again, I apologize because I don't have the slides for it. But I want to draw this out for you really quick. So this is called the cycle of despair. Another word for despair is hopelessness. And there's basically four sections of this. There's guilt. We feel guilt when we sin. We feel guilty. We all do it, right? Some of us intentionally are in it, like I was for years. I was cohabiting in relationships. Ah, that marriage thing, I mean, that's old school. That's just traditional. You know, that's for, you know, ancient people. It's not for us younger folks, right? We've heard it. And what happens? People around you begin to give in, right? And say, okay, that's fine. But I bounced from relationship to relationship. But guess what? I still felt every time I felt guilt, right? And in this, we think, I wish I could change. So in this situation, we say, I wish I could change when the guilt comes on. Then that moves on to anger. Why? Because we have some failed attempts. We have few or maybe far in between attempts of trying to change, and we get angry. And so the thought becomes, I should be able to change. I should. So it changes from I could to I should. And then that leads to fear. See, we fear, we begin to fear because we go, oh man, I don't think I'll ever be able to change, right? That says, will ever be able to change. And then that leads to the despair or depression. And in the depression, we realize that we can't change. We can never change on our own what? On our own merit, on our own will. We can't change. And it's at this point where some of us just go, okay, I quit. I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. And so a couple months later, a couple weeks later, or maybe a couple months later, you know, this cycle kicks back up when we begin to sin again, and we go from guilt to anger to fear to depression. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I guarantee that some of us in here are in that situation right now, right? I don't know where you're at in this situation or in this cycle of hopelessness, but I tell you, there's been instances where I've had this cycle of hopelessness. Commitment choice. Let me explain. So I mentioned that I had multiple relationships. Well, these relationships and my beautiful children don't just go away when I jump into a new relationship, right? For years, guess what continued to follow me along and still do today? Not my kids, yes, the women. So I remember being a follower of Jesus and dropping off my children, right, every other weekend, because that was the commitment that I made, right, through the court system. And something would go wrong, or I would go too far and go on vacation somewhere where I wasn't permitted to go, and guess what would blow up immediately? Oh, am I the only one that has an exit here? Okay, here we are. Okay, I'm talking to the right crowd, right? An ex. And it was text message after text message after text message. And it wasn't, God bless you, hope you have a great day, right? The Lord is with you, right? It was disaster, right? And here I am. I've made the commitment. I did the prayer. And my actions would say otherwise on the text message. It was a nice tease that I would return back. It wasn't, God bless you back. It was something back. And every time I would get called out months later, when I would post something on social media, they, yeah, right, whatever, you call yourself this and that, but I got proof. Can I get an amen somewhere down here? You guys know what I'm talking about? Commitment choice. Listen, I'm here to tell you this morning that it is not easy to be a follower of Jesus on your own. And it is every day that we have to make the commitment. It's a daily commitment that we have to surrender our will. You surrendered your life, but surrendering your will to Jesus is something different. It's something different. Let me tell you another story. I went into recovery, you know, this program called Celebrate Recovery, you know, 5 years ago. And it was my first time ever in recovery, and I went in there for sexual addiction. It wasn't for drugs or alcohol, but I made a decision to stop doing those things completely anyways as well. I said, hey, if I'm going to do this, let me go all in. Just kind of my personality. And I met this brother there, and we were all in. We'd go work out together. He was my accountability partner. We would read the Bible together. We would show up on Friday night to this thing called Celebrate Recovery. Now, remember, I had no background in church, really, except for sit down, stand, kneel, sit down, stand, kneel. That was it. Can I get an amen? And that was it. And it was like, okay, Jesus, pull the lever, hook me up this week, and that was it. So I began to follow Jesus. And so did this guy, and we went through the 12-step program. We worked through all the steps, and what happened to me in that program, I still have the Bible. It's fallen apart. It is true. I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that when your Bible is true, it's falling apart. I heard a preacher say it once. When a man's Bible is falling apart, that means his life is not falling apart. Let me tell you, I fell in love with Jesus through this program. And I'm not here to sell you the program. I'm here to sell you that the Word of God can transform your life. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us, right, that if you offer your body as a living sacrifice, that means body, that means mind, soul, your desires, your passions, your junk, your sins, right? Everything. If you surrender that all to Him, He'll transform you, right? And He'll help you not to conform any longer to the patterns of this world. So you've accepted Jesus Christ. You made the commitment verbally. You said, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ now. Well, guess what is next? God is now going to go after all of your character defects. Because what follows you, when you cross that line, like I said, when I was standing like this, and I made the decision to go all in with Jesus, my character defects still came along. Can I get amen to that? Amen. Let me tell you something. In recovery, if I was giving this message at Celebrate Recovery somewhere, this is what I'd say. And I challenge people this way. I go, brother, sister, you've been sober for 15 years by the grace of God. Yeah, amen, 20 years, hallelujah, 6-foot trophy, right? I go, can I ask you a question? Let me go a little deeper. Then why is it that no one likes to hang around with you? Why do you still use a lot of sarcasm as a defense mechanism, men? Why do you still cuss like a sailor, my lovely Christians? Like, why is that? Well, okay, well, because you're still carrying this way with you the character defects, the mindset of who you used to be still. You following along? So the commitment choice is that we need to renew our minds daily so that every time a text message comes, a phone call, a bill, an earthquake, we don't act or do the things that we used to. Because guess what? Now that I stood up and I said, I'm a follower of Jesus, guess what? Now the bullseye is even more on my back. And so are the eyes that are looking at me at my job, at work, right? At work, at my neighbors, you know, my friends. They're all looking and going, let's see what this Jesus follower really is all about. But if I'm still the same man over here, the fruit, the same things are still happening, then that doesn't look appealing to me. That, you know, and here's the other thing. A lot of non-believers, again, I'm a fresh believer in Jesus still. What I used to think when I used to see Christians, I was like, they ain't having fun, man. It doesn't look like it's fun over here. But I sure am having a lot of fun where? It's all a lie. You know that. It's baloney. It's all temporary. We're not really having fun. We're just trying to cover up and mask all the stuff from the weekend prior. But if I have the joy of the Lord, you know, I go visit different churches and I walk in, and again, I'll say it again here. I'm so impressed with you guys because I walk in and I naturally smile, right? It's a gift from the Lord, I say. And I walk up to Christians when I'm walking in and it's just, good morning, sister. Good morning. I was like, it's Sunday. It's church day. Shouldn't we be excited to hear the word of the Lord? Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Okay, well, listen. Well, why can't we carry that to Monday, to Tuesday, to Thursday, to Friday, to Saturday? Come back next Sunday and be like, okay, let's go. I'm going to get re-energized. I'm going to get refueled. I'm excited. You know, my life has changed. I want to share that with people. Am I the only one in Newberry Park First Christian Church? Come on now. I'm fired up. I can't wait to get up here. That's why I told Devin, I said, hey, bro, sorry, I don't need notes. I'll use them, but I'm just so fired up to be up here and to share with you what God has done in my life because I hated that man. I couldn't stand that man. That scripture of looking at yourself in the mirror and that man disappearing, I would look at myself in the mirror and go, who are you? I don't even recognize you of how far gone you are, Juan. And I continued to do my will, and my life only got worse. It didn't get better. I want you to know this. I want you to know that there is real transformation, guys. There is. But the only way that you can transform your life is by renewing your mind daily. So hopefully, I want you to know that you guys already have taken two steps of this reality choice, of this life healing, of these life healing choices. The first one is, like we talked about, you know, a couple weeks ago, is you've admitted through the reality choice your need for God. And you realized that, honestly, that you suck at playing God. We all suck at playing God. All right, especially if you have someone in your life right now, which we all do. Let's not say it too loud. Right, that is just going bananas in your life. And you're like, keep it hush hush. You try to cover it up, right? They have a drinking problem, an addiction problem, whatever, sex problem, a cheating problem, whatever it is. You know, your odds are greater, let me tell you, if you have 6 kids. So I've heard. But I want to warn those of you right now this morning here, because I love you. That if you think that you have this figured out, my brother or sister, and you're sitting here and go, yeah, it's for those people. It's for the Juans. It's for the Carlos Whitakers. It's for Pastor Devin. You know, when's Pastor Ken coming back? Because he's not one of those people. Right? for my church people that maybe you're a pastor's kid or you never had to deal with any really big problems, I want to warn you through God's word. And this is him saying this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, inspired by Paul. The Holy Spirit inspired him to say, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. We're not immune to this world, and we all have a sinful nature. We all have a sinful nature. So I was telling you about this friend. He did well for a year, and then we finished this thing called the step study, where we literally devoured God's word, and we renewed our minds through the 12 steps, because Celebrate Recovery is a faith-based ministry. It's not a secular world. That's why we've been introducing ourselves as, hi, my name is Juan. My identity is rooted in Jesus Christ, and I struggle with. Now, we lighten it up, and we say drugs, alcohol, but it should really just say what? I struggle with sin. But we don't like hearing that today in the 21st century, so, you know, pride, sexual addiction, and some of us can't even voice that yet. Because guess what? Our identity is still stuck in what we do. But you're not what you do. I'm going to repeat that. You are not what you do. Let me give you a bonus one. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that for anyone that is in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. The old has passed, and what is here? The new. You have been spiritually been born again, my brother and sister. You are brand new. But you know, again, repeating what I said earlier, what has not changed is what? Your mindset. Your mindset. So if you haven't changed your mindset, your actions will not change. Are you guys tracking with me? Is this helping? Okay, sorry, it's not a feel-good message. It's a transformation message, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay. So here, Luke 11, 24, 26 says this. Before I go into that, so this brother of mine decided to go back to his old ways. And it's been now 3 years that he hasn't been able to make his way back. And I've seen the scriptures come to life right before me, and God has shown me and said, look, this is what happens when you follow. Here's my blessings. Here's the life of abundance that I've promised you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. My brother lacked self-control. It was one of the fruits of the spirits where he lacks tremendously. And his life to this day is in shambles, is in ruins. Worse off than we first started 5 years ago in the recovery program. And so I read this scripture that Luke wrote in chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. Luke 11, 24, 26, and this is what it says. When an unclean spirit comes out of a man, it passes through arid places, seeking rest and does not find it. Here it comes. Then the spirit says, I will return to the house I left. On its return, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in that house and dwell now in that house. And the final plight of that man is worse than the first. Read that in context, right? Jesus has just expelled the demon out of this person. And I go, how can that come back? And I go, wait a minute, there's a lot of questions theologically I have there. But then God simply just shows me my brother, which I'm in prayer with, and I still reach out to him, and he reaches out to me. And just last Sunday, he reached out and said, Juan, bro, he's drunk. I'm done with this, bro. I want to have what you have, bro. I'm dying. He is. He's dead spiritually, and he's dying physically. Help me, bro. And I go, I'll pick you up right where you're at. I'll take you to an inpatient program. We got to do whatever it takes. Let's get it done. But then Monday comes, and I text him. Hey, man, how's it going, bro? Everything's good. Back at it, man. Everything's good. I'm gonna get better. I just need to get back to church. I just need to get back to this. I just need to get back to that. Gang, that's the problem. That if it depends on you, that's the problem. That if it depends on me doing something, you're never gonna get well. It's surrendering that to Jesus and saying, God, I'm done trying to do this on my own. I need to surrender this to you. Give me the power, because I can't do this on my own will, but let your will be done in my life. One more story, and I'll be wrapping up. I've had conversations with women that are dealing with a husband, and vice versa, with an addiction. And it hurts my heart, it breaks my heart, because you're obviously in a situation, you know, that you want to help this person because you love them. You love them so much that you have sacrificed your own identity for that person even. Let me explain. I've seen men and women get healthy, get back on their feet, and they're sober. But the person that was helping them through this whole time of 10, 15, 20 years, 25 years of addiction, now is the person that screwed up. Because once that person gets well, you, the person that has been the caretaker and helping that person and devoted time, energy, money, sacrificed your identity, sacrificed your job, sacrificed your relationship with your kids, you've given up everything. Now you're looking at a healthy spouse and you're going, what do I do with myself? That person doesn't need me anymore. God, then what do I have to do here? Why do I even exist here? And some of us do that with our children, right? They grow up, they go to college, right? And you're so consumed because they become your life, they become your identity, they become everything for you. Some of us do it with our jobs, right? We're just workaholics. We're so good at that, and we're still carrying around our father or a teacher or a coach or somebody that said, you'll never amount to anything. You're not good enough. And we're out to prove to people or somebody or something that we are. And so we neglect those closest to us because our identity is wrapped up in a hurt. Sorry, I didn't mean to go too deep this morning, but that's where the Spirit is leading. But I'm here to tell you that if you make the commitment choice, there's real transformation, but you have to renew your mind. And it's going to be a battle because every day you're going to want to continue to want to do the old stuff, but you got to choose in God's power and His will to say, I choose not to do those things. I've talked to pastors too, right? They consume themselves. We had a great conversation earlier. Pastors, consume themselves with the work of the Lord and they neglect their families at home. And we say, well, I'm doing a good thing though. Helping save souls, I'm helping do this and that, but guess what? There has to be a balance. The first thing that I heard, I was talking to Jenny, Trey, all back there, and I was saying, hey, you know, I need to take care of my first ministry, and that's my home. I can't come up here after yelling at my wife, beating my kids, and coming up here and saying, Jesus is good. Follow Him. Amen? Transformation happens only when we commit to Jesus. So I want to plead with you with this. I'm going to write this, these, and then this is it. I promise you. Pastors always say that, huh? I'll end with this. Those of you sitting in the room again that are not followers of Jesus, see you next weekend. Hopefully we didn't scare you. But this is for believers. I'm going to give you four C's. All right. This is when you're on your way down and it's not good. The first one is complacency. We get complacent because we get a little relief from our hurts, habits, and hangups, from our addictions, from that relationship, that toxic relationship where we don't know how to set healthy boundaries, whatever it is, right? We get complacent because there's a little bit of relief and you go, oh, okay. So we stop doing what was working for us first, right? Isn't it amazing that we pray harder when we're in a mess, but then as soon as we're out of the mess, we go, thanks for the lever, Jesus, I'm good. See you next time when I need you again. Take a back seat. When you do not commit to renew your mind so that you don't conform any longer to the patterns of the world, then here's what happens. You begin to get confused. Confusion sets in. Because guess who you naturally have a conversation with? Your friends, your coworkers, right? Relatives, You know who Eve had a conversation with? Satan. What is your mind telling you? We know what that led to, the fall. That's why we're all here. Who are you allowing to confuse you with what God's word says? Because for me, for years, it's okay to cohabit. Hey, pornography, it's okay. You could check that stuff out. Drink, hey, you drink a little. You binge drink on the weekends, Juan, but you know, you're really not an alcoholic. Look at those people, right? And we rationalize and justify our behavior. Then that leads to this next step, compromise. We begin to compromise our walk. And we begin to look like the world again. Where we don't know if you are a Christian, you're not a Christian, are you a follower, you're not a follower, what are you? Because we are people pleasers sometimes naturally. And we want to make people happy. So when you make people happy and you don't actually choose God before people, that includes your boss, right? Then we actually compromise our walk with the Lord. Finally, we end up in catastrophe, which means we're back full-blown in our sin into the cycle of despair, hopelessness. Sorry, I didn't mean to end on a bad note, but I wanted to come here today and tell you that there is a good feel-good message, and that's in Jesus Christ. That's it. And it's being in his word. I can't convince you otherwise, and that's not for me to do. That's the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you that the man that I used to be, by the grace and mercy and God's goodness, his word has transformed me and made me into a new man. And I want you, my brother and sister, to have that life of abundance. And I'm not talking about materialistically. If he blesses you financially, that's great. Give back to his kingdom so we can build and plant more churches. Can I get an amen to that? Because let me give you one. You can applaud to that. You see, because I want you to know that we're planting in the Antelope Valley a church. And there is so many unchurched people that don't have a relationship with Jesus. There's a lot of Juans out there of who I used to be, and they think life is okay, and they're just barely breathing above water, but they sink fast. And then there's also a new epidemic of de-churched people. What's that, Juan? It's people that believe in Jesus Christ, but no longer go to church and commune like this on Sunday. The average person, believer in Jesus Christ, goes to church 1.2 to 1.4 times per year. Ask yourself, where were you last Sunday? I was watching online. No. Right? I don't know how we can call a pastor that's across town in the East Coast or in the East Coast or somewhere else our pastor, really? It's good to hear our message, but here's what's going on. We're just consumers of the word. We're not doers of the word. And I'm not saying it. That's in James 1:22 again. And you know what happens, and I'll end with this because it's a little lighter and it's a joke. When we receive the word and consume it, and it doesn't go out of us, we're spiritually constipated. So, my friends, I'm honored to be up here, and I want you to know that, I mean, there's a lot of details, but the warning's here. Really see yourself where you're at here, because you have to commit. We have to make the commitment choice every single day. So what I've learned is that every week around here at Newberry Park First Christian Church, I'm excited. You guys take communion together, and that is phenomenal. You know, I always think of Jesus on the cross and all the things that had to transpire in order for him to get to that cross. He was rejected, he was beaten, Right? He was shunned. He was backstabbed by the closest to him. And I know a lot of us here can relate to that. We've gone through experiences and we all need healing choices. We need to make healing choices, but the only way we can make those healing choices first and foremost and to surrender our wills is to remember that Jesus paid it all for us on that dreaded tree. Because he counted all of us as his beloved children. So I want to remind you this morning, before we take communion, to really, really look at this and go, okay, where's my commitment to Jesus? And I want you to reflect on his goodness, on what he did on Calvary for you, and how every day you got to live that out. And so as we grab the bread, we remember his body that was broken for us. Sinners, like you and I. And he loved us so much that he went to that cross. And his broken body was to deliver us from our sin. And then as we take, you know, this juice, may it remind you that his bloodshed is the new covenant, the new promise of us having eternal life with him. This new life of transformation, of spiritual renewedness, so that we can make a commitment daily to surrender our lives, but our wills over to his care and control. Remember him as we take the bread and the juice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the greatest sacrifice ever displayed on earth and in heaven. We thank you for Jesus, your Son. And we're grateful that it doesn't depend on our own merit, but it's this unmerited favor, grace, and mercy that we get daily as we wake up to live out, to be followers of your Son. We thank you so much. We remember him. Thank you for giving us our daily bread. We love you with all of our hearts. And it's in his name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen.